Good morning. I know it's Erev Shabbos and there are many different schedules that had to come together. We have an unusual privilege and schus this morning to be able to host one of the great Marbitzei Torah Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. I can't help but share that I know Rabbi Elefant from my early childhood days. If it's okay, I'm going to embarrass Rabbi Elefant. It was, I was playing ball. Rabbi Elefant was becoming who he was becoming. So it was no surprise. He has hundreds and hundreds of, by now, thousands of Talmidim giving shir and vadim and shmuzim and the biggest yeshiva in the world today. And everyone's trying to get a piece of the action to get him to come. And how we had the schus to get him to North Miami Beach for Shabbos, I don't know the politics. That I'll have to hear separately. But it's a tremendous schus. And I'm imploring all of the Talmidim in the high school and the Beis Medrash to give your undivided attention to Hagon Rabbi Yosef Elefant.
Rashos, Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rebbeim. It's a special schos. It's really wonderful to be here in this wonderful Bakum Torah. That maybe because you're all the way over here at the end of the world, so perhaps you think people don't know about it, but this is a well-known Bakum Torah, which turns out wonderful and successful Bacharim. And I'm very, very happy to be here. My first stop in North Miami Beach. It's not the same thing as Miami Beach, I understand it. Correct? Like Rabbi Palgon said, we're a taka, I wouldn't say we're childhood friends. I wasn't his friend, he was my idol. And the only thing that he's grown in since I saw him last about 40 years ago is that he started to exaggerate, but I guess that's the hashpah of all his years in yeshivas. My head is still in Purim. So, in Yerushalayim, Purim is a very big day. It takes a few weeks until it fades. Haman says an interesting line, which always catches my mind in the Megillah. V'kol zeh einenu shavali. Haman has the whole world bowing down to him. Me'a ve'esim v'sheva medinas, 127 medinas. And he says, not worth it, because there's one person not bowing down to him. V'kol zeh einenu shavali. And the question is that, what lies behind that? Was he some megalomania, psychiatric, disturbed? So then the Pasuk wouldn't bring it. The Pasuk doesn't bring psychiatric descriptions of people who are megalomania. That means he said something which obviously was connected to who he was. Why? Because they didn't shovel it. It would have made sense if Haman would have said that, listen, I'm very happy with what I have. I have 99.9% of the world on my side. It bothers me terribly. But why is it worthless? Nothing. So I want to share with you a Sfas Emes who brings down from his grandfather the Chiddush HaRim in Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu sent a message. He prepared the Malachim what to say when they meet up with his brother Esav. Kiv Goshcha Esav Achi. When you meet up with my brother Esav, Visha'elcha Lemor, he'll ask you the following question. Lemiata, who do you belong to? Va'ana Telech, where are you going? Ulmi Eila Lefanecha, what is all this? Very strange pasuk. Who are you? Where are you going? What is this? What is it? What is he taking a poll? Is a questionnaire to fill out? What are all these questions that Esav is saying to Yaakov Avinu? Where are you? Who are you? Where are you going? Mind your own business. What are these questions? So the Chiddush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, said something very interesting. He said, listen to the ring of these three questions. What did he say? What's Esav going to say? Lemi ata, who, where are you from? Va'ana telech, and where are you going? Ulemi eila lefanecha. Those three questions sound familiar from somewhere, right? Where does it sound familiar from? Where? Very good. Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, it says that a person has to ask himself three questions. Where are you from? Where are you going? Who are you going to give a din for in front of, right? These three questions ring the same echo. Lemiata, where are you coming from? Lartel, where are you going? Why is Esav asking these three questions? What does he want? So the Chiddush HaRim, Sfasemes brings down an incredible pshat. The Chiddush HaRim says that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says these three questions, is coming to make a person depressed, or it's coming to lift them up. It's not coming to make you depressed. It's coming to say that a person should recognize where he comes from, what his potential is, what he should do with his life, where you're going, what's going to be. But Esav, the Yetzer Hara, also could ask these three questions. But you have to have a musical ear. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? What's going to be with you? You ever hear those questions ringing in your ear? Same three questions. Lemiata, what'd you do? Lanatel, what's going to be with you? Umiel lefanach, and who are you going to stand in front of one day? The same three questions, but a different niggin. Esav niggin. Esav says, Yaakovina says you're going to bump into Esav, and he's going to say to you, what are you doing already? Where are you going? Where are you coming? What's your future? What did you do already? What are you going to answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're going to get there? Esav says you're a big zero. So first of all, whenever you hear those questions ringing in the air, so you know you've met up with Esav. You're having a conversation with Esav himself. And what's the answer? The answer is from this week's parsha. The answer is, he told them, Vamartem, he said, Achapra ponov bamincha. Vamarto, la'avdecha Yaakov mincha hi. He said, I'm sending you a mincha. Why did he answer back, I'm sending you a mincha? He should have said a matana, right? There's something very unique about a carbon mincha, and Rashi says it in this week's parsha. What's unique about a carbon mincha? By a carbon mincha, it says, nefesh kisakir, a person who is makir of his soul, is meisa nefesh. Why does it say by a carbon mincha, a lashon of nefesh kisakir? It doesn't say by any other carbon. So Rashi says, who brings the mincha? Who brings the carbon mincha? Who brings the carbon mincha? A poor man. He can't afford a big fat ox and a big sheep. So he's a poor man. He brings in a little bag. He has a baggie. He brings some flour, a little bit of oil, he shenar for somebody. But that's all he can afford. And a person who brings a korban mincha is nefesh is makiv. His makiv is neshama. And the Torah says, you know, a guy who can afford a big fat shor or aisle, okay, he's not meisa nefesh. But the poor man who brings a little mincha, a little bit of flour, and a little bit of oil, As nafshu makriv, he's being meisa nefesh. Says the Chiddush Arim, so what's the answer back to Esav? When Esav asks all these depressing questions of where are you going, and what are you doing, and what's going to be with you? He said, you're right, mincha. Yaakov Yudah said, look in the Rashi in Parashat Vayikra. I'm sending a message, you're right. I didn't do too much. I came to the end of this man. I didn't finish everything I wanted to finish. What did they learn this man? I shouldn't make any jokes about the pace of Chofetz Chaim, correct? It's not appropriate. What? I won't. I want to keep my friendship with Rabbi Falgon. But you wanted to finish, let's say, a Masechta, Gittin, or the first parak, right? You make a C in my first parak. Okay. Chodim ba'papa, Rabbi ba'papa, right? After the first parak, it's fine. There's also something. So you come to the end of this man, you didn't finish what you wanted to finish. You did it. This man's ending soon, Baruch Hashem. It's coming, Gevaltige Yom Tov Pesach. And you made goals, right? You made goals you're going to write down every year. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. And then somewhere around Lincoln's birthday, Epis, it used to be not President's Day, it's called. You have a few empty pages in your notebooks. And then you make a new start. You buy another notebook, another campus thing. Make a haschala. You didn't finish what you wanted. And you didn't make all the seeds you wanted. So the Yetzer comes at the end of this man and he says, Nu, lemi ata, lana telech, mi ela lefanecha. That's what the Yetzer says. So what do you answer back? Mircha, you're right. I didn't bring an aisle, I didn't bring a par. Maybe it didn't work out exactly what I thought. But whatever I did, I worked hard for. And the Torah is machshiv every little bit that we do. What's remarkable about this Chiddush Arim is that if his pshat is correct, and I'm going to show you soon that there are very, very strong hoychachas for this, I'm going to show you a moiridika place where we see that that's the essence. That's the essence of the dialogue between Yaakov and Esav. Do you know we lay in Parashat Zohar? It says Ashakorcha Baderech. So what does Rashi say? The lashon of Korcha means to cool off, right? Jump into the hot bath. So the Tzaddik HaKoyin, the famous Baal Machshava, says, you know what the main cooling off of Amalek is? Amalek cools a guy off. What does he say? He says that what you do has no meaning. What you do has no chashivas. That's Ashakor. That's cool. What's cooling off mean? What's cooling off mean? That a guy was jumping on top of the Nan Achman van and then he got off it. If you know what that is here, I don't know if it arrived here yet. I don't know what it is yet. Go to Yerushalayim, you'll find out. No, that's not what it means. Cool off means that I had a geshmak and I had a fire and I had a bren. And I had a chashiva is what I do. The Yetzer Hara said, it's okay, calm down, don't be a flip out, nothing happened. Ashakorcha. We'll soon see. And nothing you do has any meaning. That's the main dialogue with the Yetzer Hara. And we answer back and said, you're right. Wonderful. But it's nefesh ki sakriv. I gave my neshama, I pushed myself, I killed myself, I learned when I didn't have a cheshik. I learned the Rajbo again when I didn't understand it. I davened when I wasn't in the mood. That's the entire dialogue with Yaakov and Esau. Rabbi Sol Salanter, in one of his letters, describes something very interesting. We all know the story of Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old, and he saw the water dripping on the rock, and he said that if the water could make a hole in the rock, I can learn Torah. We've all heard the story 1,000 times. So we saw Solanta write in one of the letters there. What does it mean? He never saw a rock formation. Every little kid knows. You go on a trip and you see water dripping on a rock. It makes a hole. What did he realize all of a sudden when he was 40? Says we saw Solanta something very interesting. Rabbi Akiva, when he was a young boy, went to learn in yeshiva. He didn't wait till he was 40. Says Rabbi Sol Salanta, that Rabbi Akiva went to learn when he was a young boy. He went to yeshiva. He went to yeshiva. He sat down. And he learned for a couple of days. He said, I don't feel it. Came to Musa Seder. You have Musa Seder, no? Most of the day, no? What? Yeah. The only Musa yeshiva left in the world. You should know that. You should be proud of it. And when we see a Chofetz Chaim boy in Mir Yeshiva, you can see the minute he walks in, the way he says, Shalom Aleichem, is Chofetz Chaim. He's built Musa, Yer Shemayim, Ben Al Lachaveru, Ben Al Lamakar. So yeah, Musa Seder, I know that. A guy came to Musa Seder. He sits down. He's very proud of himself. He comes for 3 days, Musa Seder. He's waiting ready for calls that somebody should call, and maybe they're looking for a Mashgiach. 3 days. He says, I learned 1 day, 2 day, 3 days. I don't feel like the Alta from the Varadok, Kelm, and Slobodka, of course. This is, you people are the Yorshim of Slobodka. He doesn't feel it, right? You never get that feeling. You come to, what's to say, you don't feel it? You don't feel it. He learned. He doesn't feel it. So Bikiva came. He came for a week or two. He left. What did he do? Chazal say he went back to the sheep. Came the at-risk experts, and they said, this guy looks like a talented kid. He's busy with the sheep. Let's try to bring him back. They convinced him to come back to Beis Medrash, offered him a skiing trip if he goes for a week to learn. He came back. That's what Solanta says. He says exactly like that, without the skiing trip. Whatever they did. He came back to learn for another week. He sat and he chuckled and he learned. He says, I don't feel it. He went back to the sheep, and that was the end of his career. When he was 40, says Rabbi Sol Salanta, he noticed a phenomenal thing that he never noticed before. He noticed that every drop of water that drips on the rock doesn't make any impression at all. Makes no impression. And he wondered to himself, he knew that water makes a hole on a rock. But he noticed for the first time that it's not even a microscopic impression. And yet, there's a hole there. And that's what caught his eye. What caught his eye was that he noticed that you can have dripping for hundreds of years. Every drop for itself makes no impression at all. And then all of a sudden, one day, there's a hole there. So he understood that he made a mistake. He understood that the secret to growth in Ruchnius and in Torah is no big play. It's not like you're at the end of a football game and it's fourth and goal to go and the clock is ticking and you throw long. That's not how it works. That's for football. That's not for steiging. He understood that it's drip by drip. I have a question. If all the consolidated water of all the hundreds of years that dripped would have been poured at one time, would there have been a hole or not? It would have been a flood, that's all. Right? That means you can't even pour all the water at once. And Rabbi Palgon will testify together with me how many people we saw who poured all the water at once, right? Who didn't make it to the finish line. They didn't make it to the start. So Rabbi Akiva, the whole Rabbi Akiva came from his understanding that real growth in Ruchnius takes years, not days and not months. It's drip by drip, drop by drop, and every drop has no meaning. We saw Solanta writes over there a lashon, ubehis asev kol harishumois, when all the impressions, these microscopic impressions gather together, then there's a hole. You know, I was always thinking, that's the pshat. Rabbi Akiva came back after 12 years, you all know the pshat, and he didn't even go into his wife. So Chaim Shulevitz said, why don't you go in and say hello? This is one of the most famous pshatim. He said 12 years and 12 years is not 24. He would have made a hafsaka, it would have stopped. I always think that it's Rabbi Akiva l'shitosoi. Because Rabbi Akiva was the one who was megala that it's all about consistency. There's no big play. Rabbi Akiva was the one who was megala that you have to keep dripping. Now what happens if you drip for 12 years and then you stop? What happens? And then you drip for another 12 years. Do you have a hole or not? Nope, because you stopped the process. So Rabbi Akiva's Lashitasai understood that there's no dramatic moment. It's about consistency. And it's about day after day, and week after week, and month after month. And then all of a sudden, a person wakes up one morning, he's a Talmud Chacham. He wakes up one morning, he's a Ben Aliyah. And it's a long, painful process. And the voice of Esav along the way says, I don't see anything happening here. I don't see any growth. I don't see where you're going. I don't see what you're accomplished. You know, I said the word along the way. I want to tell you a phenomenal Sfas Emes. Zochar asher osu lecha Amalek, baderech sheyetzosim Yerushalayim. The Sfas Emes asks in Parashat Zochar, what does baderech mean? Why on the way? Says this Sfas Emes, that you know where Amalek attacks us when we're on the way. We're not there yet. We're growing, we're fighting, we're battling, we're trying to get there. But there! We're not there yet. It's not a finished product. We didn't capture the top of the mountain yet. We're on the way. Amalek says, Lona Telech, what do you do? I don't see any results. The entire chalois, the entire place where Amalek steps in, is baderech. When I'm on the way, and I'm working, and I don't see dramatic results yet, but I'm on a path, and I'm building consistency, and I'm building stability, comes Amalek and says, baderech, I want results. And why is that? Why is that? Why does Amalek come baderech when we're on the way, when we're dripping, drop by drop? When we don't see results yet. That's the secret of a kol zeh neno shavali. The secret of a kol zeh neno shavali is something very simple. Watch. And this is the secret of every yeshiva bacha, of every ben Torah. In ruchnius, in aliyah, in dveikus, could a person say, the kol zeh neno shavali, this is not worth anything, because what? Because I didn't finish getting. And if you'll finish getting, then you did it. Then you reach the finish line. Then you reach the end game. But there's Yevamos. Ah, Yevamos. If you're going to learn Yevamos, come to me, Yeshiva. It's a private Eitzah. Rabbi Moshe, right? You agree? Moshe.
Yeah.
That's it. You finish your vomis, you're going to say, v'kol zeh neno shavali. Okay, so tell me, what's the end game? This is not worth anything. When you... In Ruchnius, there's no end game. Ruchnius is nitzchius. Ruchnius is forever. So if I live in a world of spirituality, I live in a world of baderach, I'm always on the way. Because I'm always growing. So there's no such thing as v'kol zeh neno shavali. It's not worth anything. What do you mean it's not worth anything? What does that mean? What is worth? When I'll have that, and what's that? And when you get there, then you finish, then it's over. So Esav and Amalek live in a world of Gashmius, where they have finite, defined need. There's an end game. Want to have 2 houses, 3 yachts, 5 cars, 6 suits, whatever people need in North Miami Beach. By the way, in the Torah, we find something fascinating. Esav met up with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov said, Yesh li kol, I have everything I need. What did Esav say? Yesh li roiv. I have more than what I need, right? In Ruchnius, you can never say, I have more than what I need. What do you mean, I have more than what you need? So do something with it, right? A Jew ever says, I have too much money? You ever heard a Jew say, I have too much money? No. Why not, by the way? Because if you have extra money, you give it tzedakah, support a younger man, build a yeshiva. What do you mean you have too much? What does that mean? Everything is for Avodas Hashem. This thing is too much. Esav works like this. Esav has Gashmi Yizdika goals. He has a list, he has a shopping list. I need house, car, yacht, suit, tie, shoes, summer home. If I don't have it, Kolze in a shoveli, what's it worth? If I have more than what I need, Yeshli Roiv, I have more than what I need. It's either less, it's either all or nothing, or too much. In the world of Ruchnius, there is nothing more than the derech. Yesh li kol. I always have everything, and I always have nothing. Because I have everything, because what I have now is everything. I'm on the path. We live the path. We don't live the end game. We don't have a goal. We're not going anywhere. And the secret of a yeshiva is, if you ask me, when do you end learning? Sometimes they ask you, right? The answer is, we're on a path. Where to? Nowhere. To Olam Haba. We live on the path. We live in the mobile home. That's where we are. So, we never have too little. We never have too much. We always have what we have at that moment. Yeshli kol. I have what I have for my avodas Hashem. I never have too much. If I have too much, then I might as well use it. No surplus. And I never say I don't have anything. I have the derech. I have drop by drop by drop by drop. And we're drilling a hole. So the entire dialogue, the entire battle with the Yetzer Hara is only about one thing. It's baderech or v'chol ze enenu shavali. It's all worthless. Because I didn't get to the end game. I didn't get to my shopping list. If I don't have my shopping list, I don't have anything. If I have more than my shopping list, I don't know what to do with it. And we don't have a shopping list. We don't have an end game. Zohar asa sha'asulcha amolek baderech. We live on the derech. We grow on the derech. We appreciate the derech. We steig from the derech. And we're happy with the derech. And we take another step at a time. The Sfasemis in a different place says an astounding thing. Chazal bring down that one of the reasons why Esav was called Esav is from the word Asui. He was born, Rashi says, a finished product, right? He was born like an adult. There's no such thing as growth by Esav. Esav's a done deal. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to start. There's no mukum for growth. In a world of Gashmius, there's no growth. There's no derech. There's no process. There's no dripping. Either you have it or you don't. That's the secret of Echol Zeh Enenu Shavali. That's the voice of Amalek, of Esav, L'mi Ata, L'ana Teilech, L'mi Eila L'fanecha. I want to bring a final marker to this. When Yaakov Avinu was about to fight the Sar Shel Esav, I'm going to tell you an astounding thought. Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. Right before he met up with the Sar Shel Esav, he was alone. You know, Chazal say, it's a famous song, Levadai, that's the Darg of Hashem. V'nizgav Hashem Levadai. He got to this incredible Darg of Levadai, uniqueness, specialness, independence. What was he doing, by the way, when he was Levada over there? What does Rashi say? What was he doing? What? Pachim Tanim. He went to take care of some trivial business. Pachim Tanim. Pachim Tanim is the ultimate metaphor for narishkeit. Pachim Tanim. Take small cans. So I have two questions. That was the preparation for his battle with the Malach of Esav? And B, that's when he was zeicha to the Dargah of Levadai. 22 years he didn't sleep in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. He didn't get the Dargah of Levadai. The years that he was in the house of Lavan, that he stayed from, he didn't get Dargah of Levadai. He went back to pick up a couple of old cans and buckets. We have a song over here, V'nizgav Hashem Levadai B'Yom Ahuh. Isn't that strange? The answer is that the battle with the Yetzer Hara is only one battle. Asher Korcha Baderech is only one thing. The Yetzer Hara says, what do you do with this whole man? L'miyata, L'ona Teilech, Asher Korcha Baderech. Nobody, this man, maybe have finished what they wanted to finish, but everybody's on the Derech. Everybody grew. The Yetzer Hara says, V'chol Zeh Enenu Shavali, all or nothing guy. That's the entire battle with the Yetzer Hara. So when he came to the fight with the Sar Shel Esav, what did they do over there? It wasn't a wrestling match. to fight with the Sar Shel Esav was one thing. Chol Zeh Derech Avoli, you did it, finish Gittin. Ah, you are on the Derech? It's nothing. Where's the Siyam? So what does the Pasuk say? What's the answer? Levadai, I'm unique. And where does the uniqueness articulate itself? And where does the uniqueness express itself? Pachim Tanim. When we learn for 22 years straight, there's no chokhmah to feel unique. There's no chokhmah to appreciate my accomplishments. But in my everyday battles with the Yetzer Hara and the Pachim Tanim, when I do the right thing and I win a small battle, and I go a step further, that's where you're unique. That's where I can see. That's where my uniqueness articulates itself. That's where the uniqueness of the person expresses itself. That what makes us unique is who we are, not our actions. And since every person is unique and special and different and chashuv and bishvili nivra olam, that gives meaning and depth and chashivas to everything we do, even the Pachim Tanim. And that's the whole fight with the Yetzer Hara. The whole fight with the Yetzer Hara is on the trivial, everyday, we'll call them partly cloudy, scattered showers day. Yeah, so-so. That's where I tap into the levado, dafka over there. The Yetzer Hara doesn't bother us on the days that we're not sleeping and we're learning around the clock. He doesn't bother us on the days when you love on Garti, you attack, he waits for the other days. He waits for the Pachim Tanim days. And then he says, ah, you're a Pachim Tanim guy. And you know what we answer? We are. We're Pachim Tanim guys. We drip a drop, doesn't do anything, and another Pachim Tanim, and we collect Pachim Tanim. And we have this huge collection. We have a museum of Pachim Tanim. And then all of a sudden, like Rishol Salanta says, we have a hole. And the Amalek says, Kol Zeinenu Shavali. That's the battle of Esav and Amalek. So, I heard that we're coming off a phenomenal Zman. All of you, all the ages, everybody's on the derech, everybody's growing, everybody's dripping drop by drop, and there'll be a big hole soon. And there'll be a big opening, Piskuli Shari Tzedek, Ovo Yvamoy Derko. And we're going to answer back to the V'chol Zeinenu Shavali, V'nizgav Hashem Levada Bayom Ahu Dafkin the Pachim Tanim. Another minute? What? Do you have to go home? By the time the buses come, take. In Brooklyn, the boys get jumpy after a few minutes. What? They're out of towners. Nothing better to do here anyway, right? I figure. So I want to end off with just one message. What's a yeshiva for? I just want to say a short thought. So how do we grow in a yeshiva? We said it's about growth. It's not about end games. It's about the derech. So I want to say something unconnected, but obviously it's connected. The Maharal asks a famous question. Interesting question that he asks. It's a question that he wouldn't think about. It says that when Yitzchak Avinu went to the Akedah, everybody said, listen carefully. I'm going to tell you something life-changing. When Yitzchak Avinu went to the Akedah, he took a donkey with him, right? When he got to the bottom of the hill, he told Eliezer and Yishmael, you sit here with the donkey and I'll ride up the hill, right? I'll walk up the hill. Why don't you take the donkey all the way up the hill? If you've been to the Kaisel, if you went to visit the Yishan branch of Yeshiva, it's a steep, old city. They walk up. Why don't you take the donkey up to the thing? What's the problem? Everyone here was an old man. So there's all types of lumdash at the Rutsum, by the way, why he didn't take the donkey there. How Maria had a dinner at the base of Mikdash, and you can't take an animal into the Azorah. We'll talk about that a different time. Says the Maharal as follows. Maharal says, this chamor, this donkey, why was he called a chamor, by the way? Any of you know why a chamor is called a chamor? Anybody know? Anybody know here in Lothian Ridge? Any idea? What? A chomer, a vada, right? What's the word chomer mean? Material, right? Chomrios means materialism, right? Chamor is the most materialistic of all the animals. By the way, why? Because he's so stupid, he's such an action. When there's no seichel, that means you're sunk into Gashmius. That's a different topic for a different time. Chamor is called the ultimate megushim dike animal. You have to kick him to move. That's like, that's Gashmius, right? Lying in bed in the morning, you want to get up for Kriya Shema, you can't budge. That's a chamor, right? We all know that feeling. You have to kick him to move. He doesn't want to budge. Chamor is Gashmius. It stays in one place. It's inertia. The rules of gravity pull it down. So chamor is called chomrius. That's what the Maral says. Now, this chamor that Avraham Avinu rode to the Akedah had a very long career. How do we know it had a long career? Because Rashi says in Parsha Shmois that Moshe Rabbeinu rode this chamor back to Mitzrayim. Right? And who else is going to ride this chamor? Mashiach. You go to Yerushalayim and you see one of these donkeys over there, near Shar Hashem, don't be mezalzel. Could be it's chamor Rishon Mashiach. There's a chamor that's waiting around from the time of Avraham Avinu. He went to the Akedah. Can you imagine somebody who was present, not somebody, something, that was present at the Akedah, get to take an autograph. Chamor that was at the Akedah, or close, he got pretty close. He stayed with Yishmael and Abiyaz. We'll talk about that in a minute. Why? So this chamor is chomrius, is gashmius. Says the Maral, Reichev ala chamor. He rode the chamor. What does it mean he rode the chamor? Avram, Moshe, Moshiach had shlita over the chamor. They were able to channel the chamor in the right direction. There was somebody else who had a different type of relationship with his donkey. Who was that? The Maral himself. Bilam had a complete. Bilam was married to his job, like they say. That's what the Maral says. That's the shot. He and the chamor were one. That's why over there it's a lush in the cave. That's a different topic. So we have Avram and Moshe. And who else we said? Mashiach. Riding the chamor. They're on top of the game. They're on top of the gashmius. Says the Maral, even if you're on top of the gashmius, even if you're riding the chamor, even. But there's one place you can't take the chamor, even if you have a filter. Where's that? Oi, I wasn't supposed to be a technology. Come on. Yeah? There's one place where you don't bring a chamor in, even if you're riding the chamor. That's the base of Mikdosh. Nelcha v'nishtachas. We're going to go bow down to Hashem, right? When we go to bow down to Hashem, we're going to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you're Avraham Avinu who rides the chamor, you don't take it. Says the Maral, something very liberal, by the way. V'nashuva nelcha. V'nishtachaveh. What does it say afterwards? V'nashuva. Maral says, you'll go back to your chamor. Don't worry. It's waiting at the bottom of the mountain. It's not going anywhere. Maral says, you can't live without a chamor. Everyone needs some gashmius. Everyone needs some chomrius. But v'nishtachaveh? When you're going down to bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you leave your chamor behind. That not. Nelcha. V'nishtachave. V'nishuva. I always tell Bokharim who come to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to worry. I landed in the airport yesterday in Newark and this morning in Fort Lauderdale. The chamorim are waiting right there. Packed. Huge parking lot. It says chamor parking lot. You see, long-term chamor parking, short-term. As soon as you land, your chamor will be here. Daiganish. You don't have to worry. V'nishuva. You'll have to work it out. But v'nishtachave, there's no chamor. When you go into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you have Avraham Avinu, v'nishtachave, you're walking into the Beis Medrash. Miyoyim shechar Beis HaMikdash. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El Gala Shalach. Your Baruch Hu is homeless. He's a refugee. He only has one place that he calls home. That's here. That this Beis Medrash. In the middle of a sea of Tumah, middle of a sea of Chulin, Here, this is where the Shekhinah is. And the years that you have to create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now. You have a couple of years to bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to create a relationship with Him. Don't worry about it. You won't flip out. Nothing will happen. You know what flip out means? What? Should I explain what it means? I'm going to get into trouble. Better not. You're not going to invite me again. Check some of the flip outs. Are you a flip out? Am I? We both are. Come on, nothing else. We both flipped out. Correct? We're flip outs. I mean, Palgrim, I'm ready. Rosh Yeshiva, big yeshiva. I'm trying to follow in his footsteps. I always did. Vinashuva, you go back. You don't have to worry. The Chamor is waiting for you. It's not going anywhere. But Vinishtachave, when you're in your years of your Akedah and bowing down, there's no Chamor, even if you think you're Avram Avinu and you're Moshe Rabbeinu and you're Mashiach. I'll end. Even though you don't have what to do, but there's a limit to everything. So I just want to end with one more thing. Who didn't go up to the Akedah? Who didn't go? The Chamor didn't go. We already agreed. He's been a Shuvadik. He's waiting in long-term parking. And who else didn't go? Yishmael and... Now, Yishmael is Yishmael. What are you going to do with Al-Qaeda up in what he called? Okay. They don't belong by the Akedah. But Eliezer Eved Avram, who was the Kodol Hador, when Avram was thought that he was going to be Palisol, wouldn't it have been appropriate for him to be present at the Akedah at such an inspiring event? Why did he go, by the way? Shvulach Empoyim HaChamor, you stay with the Chamor, says Rashi, Chazal, you're a Chamor. How did Avraham Avinu know that he's a Chamor? How did Avraham Avinu know that he also is Gashmius and he can't come up to Vinishtachaveh? How do you know? It was a test there, you know that? There was an entrance test to get into the Akedah. What was it? Chazal say, they were going along the way to the Akedah. Vayaris Amakom Erochik. What did they see? What did they see? Anan, Kosher, Alahar. They saw a cloud. What was that cloud? The Shechina Kadosha. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina on the mountain, right? So Avraham Avinu said to Yitzchak, do you see what I see? He said, yeah, I see a cloud. I see the Shechina. He said to Eliezer Eved Avram, do you see the cloud? What did he say?
No.
Very good. I don't see the cloud. You know what he said to him? You're a Chamor. If you can't see the Shechina on the mountain, you're a Chamor. That's a raya that you're Gashmius. It's a raya that with all your milas, if you can't identify Ruchnius opportunities, there's something wrong with you. I want to end off with a story. In America, they like stories. I'll tell you something. I once saw an article in one of the front papers from a Rosh Yeshiva who said over the following incident. There used to be a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael called the Baba Sali. Rabbi Saul Abu Chatzera, he's the father of all the Mekubalim today. And there was a child who was kidnapped somewhere in Israel. They couldn't find him, and they went to this big tzaddik, the Baba Sali. He's the grandfather of all the Mekubalim. And they asked him, where's the kid? He said, I don't know. So he said, but go to my son, Baba Meir in Ashdod, who was a big tzaddik. He's the father of all the Mekubalim today. And he'll tell you where the kid is. They went to this Yid in Ashdod, we have to have passed away. And he said, bring me a piece of paper. The person who's saying the story was in Yoted Neman, Rosh Hashiva. He said, I saw the story with my own eyes. Bring me a piece of paper. Give me a pen. He drew two lines. And he said, these are two streets in London. This is the second street. Building number 12, second floor. The kid's there. What? They called the embassy. They found the kid. The second floor, building number 12 in London. So this Rosh Hashiva asked this Rabbi Meir Buchatera, how do you see to London? You're sitting here in Ashdod, of all places. He said, I never looked at anything that I don't need to look at. My eyes are trained for Ruchnius. I can see all the way to London. It says, Adam Rishon, Roya Misaifa Eilamat Saifa, right? Adam Rishon was able to see from one end of the world to the other. That's a story. So I want to tell you something about myself. I am publicly admitting over here in North Miami Beach, it's embarrassing, but there's nobody here anyway. The news is not going to get out. I cannot see to London. Okay? Not only can't I see to London, but when I'm sitting in my dining room and I want to know what my wife's making for Shabbos, I have to ask her. I can't see through the walls of the kitchen, even though Israeli walls. But I can't see through. I can't see through. If I want to know what's cooking in the kitchen, I have to get up and go open the pot and see. But I always say to myself, when I'm learning a Rashba in front of me, right? You're looking at a Rashba sometimes and you can't see it. You're looking at a Ktzais and you can't see it. When you can't see the Anan Kosher Alahar, it means we're a little bit, we became a little bit Chamardik. And I am not talking about Kedusha issues, okay? I'm talking about, are our eyes trained to appreciate things of content or only superficial wrappers, exterior packages? The Golus that we live in, and it is not ending, the Golus that we live in is called Golus, what's it called? Edom. Why is it called Golus Edom? Because Yaakov Avinu, Esav said to Yaakov, Ha'adom Hazeh. That's a funny reason to call it. I always say, what was this other one called, right? In Yom HaDiyayimah, right? Isn't it funny that the Golus is called Cholent? We ask, what's the Golus? This Golus is Yom HaBavo. Cholent! Adam! Very strange name to call us. By the way, it was a minor event, he called it. Shots like this, listen carefully, Abba Isai. If you want to describe something, I want to describe an object, right? So I can describe its nutrient content, right? You take a thing, you open a bag, it says how many calories, potassium, sodium, white blood cells, whatever it is, okay? Nutrition content, that's one way of describing something. You can tell me how something tastes. You can tell me what the ingredients are, right? The most superficial, low-level way of describing something is, say, the color. What does red mean? It could be arsenic. What does it mean it's red? Is it tasty? Is it not tasty? Is it nutritious? Not nutritious? What's inside? What is it? It's red. You know what that means? Esav is what catches my eye. Esav is superficiality. Esav is cutaneous. Esav says that we have a whole world. It's like a package. You get a gift package wrapped up with a nice bowl, nice wrapping, and you put it on the table. And for a year, everybody said, did you see the packaging? Did you see the bowl? Did you see the packaging? Did you see the bowl? Nobody opens up. Inside is a treasure. But they're busy looking at the Odoim Ha'odoim Hazeh. That's the ultimate extreme articulation of superficiality, the packaging. That's the eyes of a Chamor. Chamor doesn't see Cholent, doesn't see, all he sees is Ilchitzenius, all he sees is the packaging, all he sees is the color. The Chamor can't see the Anan Kosher Alahara. The Chamor can't see the possibilities and potential of Ruchnius that lie in each of us. The Chamor gets excited by the exterior things which glitter, but there's nothing there. That's Golus Edom. That's the Chamor. The Chamor doesn't make it to the Beis Medrash because he doesn't even see that there's a Beis Medrash. He doesn't know where the Beis Medrash is. He can't find it. And that's our Avoda in this phenomenal, spectacular Miyuchid Makum Torah. This is the place of Vinishtachaveh. And if we leave the Chamor outside, we'll be able to see the potential in every Rashba, in every Tosfos, in every Mesilas Yesharim, in every Lev Le, what's it called, the Sefer? What? Chedushia Lev, Moiridik Sefer. I have it. Nifla. Breath of fresh air. We'll be able to see it. And then we'll win the other battle with Esav. First of all, Esav doesn't even let us get into the Beis Medrash. He's busy with the Adam. He's busy with the color outside. He's busy with the Chamor. And then when we get into the Beis Medrash, we're going to win the other battle of Baderech Batseischem Mitzrayim. Kol Tov.